I figured that would probably, excuse me, a little easier to see or read, yes? Kind of, sort of. Let me just go to where I need to be because... Romans chapter 4, 18 through 25. We're going to be looking at six principles in faith in action. So let's read this. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. So Paul writes, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered from for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, hoping against hope." If you recall from Sunday's message, the things that are given to us, that are promised to us. Peace, we have it. What else do y'all remember? It was in the outline, I believe. No? Joy, we're rejoicing. What else? Access to his throne by faith. Glory and tribulation, or rather the being conformed to the image of Christ. The love of God shed in our hearts, delivered from wrath, being reconciled. Those are the promises we're getting. And so Abraham was given a different promise than us. He was to be the father of many nations, and he looked at his wife and himself. Ain't going to happen. And so we read that against hope, he believed in hope. And if you went home on Sunday after service and you looked at the things we have and you said, "I just don't see it." God says, "I have it, but I don't see it." And unlike us, Abraham looked at him and Sarah. There's no way this is going to happen. There's no way. And so, but it says that against hope, it's hopeless, he believed in hope. You could say that's a paradox. How does that even work? See this in action. The first key principle of faith in action is to believe in hope. That's it. You have to be able to put your faith in God's word. It's what it is. It's all it means. It's not on you. It's not on what you can or cannot accomplish. It's on what God says. So what about this believing in hope, which is pretty much against him? What was it that he would become the father of many nations? Keep that in mind because it'll come back and it'll make sense why this happens here. And again, it's according to the Word of God. if you read again Romans chapter 5 of what you have because you're justified, all those benefits, and then you look at your life, I don't see peace in my life. I don't see having access, you know, I don't see any of those things in my life. Well, believe in hope. You may not see it. What do you got to do? Just believe in what God says. And so here you have Abraham, Father Abraham, who had many sons. I am one of them, and so are you. So the song goes, when I do it with our kids, Father Abraham, many sons had Father Abraham. And so I am one of his, and so are you. And like he had to believe against hope, believe in that hope, we too are in that same boat. But he heard from God. God spoke to Abraham. I didn't get a phone call. Did you get a text from God? It's God. Here's your text. Here's your email. I didn't get any of that. No, we have something better. We have God's written word. That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. If you look at the top of the screen there, in fact, I cut it short, not there. Anyways, never mind. It's not, I thought it was there, but it isn't. And so this first key principle is what? Believe in hope. That's it. Believe in what? Chapter 5 tells you that you have. You got it. Whether you see it or not, you got it. That's what Abraham did. Didn't see many kids, had no kids. And so shall thy seed be, is told. Wow, God, that's pretty thick. And so we're going to look in verse 19 at the second key principle for faith in action. Here it is, being not weak in faith. Are you weak in faith? Against hope, believes in hope that he would be the father of many. And being not weak in faith, he looked around, as the verse further tells us, he considered not his own body now what? Dead. His body is dead. When I hear the word dead, he's in the ground. You know, like you said, I've got one leg in the grave and one still, I'm straddling. That's the way he sees himself. When he was 100 years old, I'm too old for that. I've done my stay. Let the young spring chickens do it now. The ball is in their court. Or the deadness of Sarah's womb. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he looks at Sarah and he looks at himself, how old they are. He didn't allow the circumstance to override, to weaken his faith. So you're going to have the issue of weak faith because of what's around you. And when you let the circumstance override, then you will be weak in faith, and you will be in despair as opposed to being hopeful. Circumstances, of course. They're always the thing that Satan engineers in your life to create that chaos in your life to make you get frazzled and you give up. You give up. Look at Abraham's circumstance. By all accounts, he considered his body to be dead, 100 years old, and while Sarah was no spring chicken, she wasn't. You know, they had gone to the gynecologist, sorry, you have no more eggs in your egg sac, ain't going to happen. She gets the medical report, he goes to take a physical, Abraham, you're making me laugh. You're going to be a daddy? No, 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 Señor. No, no, no. Just keep on tending your sheep. It's as much as you can do now. Circumstances. And you could have somebody to give you the excuse you need, the written excuse. Take this to your God and tell him the doctor says that you're too old and that your body's not capable and that your wife's not capable. Just take it to God, you know, and you're exempt. Okay, I don't have to worry about all the pressure of being weak in faith, and I'd really be ashamed of it. And I think sometimes I excuse myself being weak in faith because I allow the circumstance to override. You know, God, I've got my exempt slip. I'm claiming absence today. Okay, so excuse me from having to do what you're asking me to do, to believe in hopelessness because I don't see it, God. No, no, I didn't say to believe in hopelessness. Believe in hope, Tony. Can you believe in hope? Can you be not weak in faith? And don't let the circumstances override, because then game over. It's a done deal. Same arguments that we use, Abraham could have used. And at some juncture in their life, Sarah came up with the idea and he fell prey to it. Yeah, yeah, you're right, Sarah. It ain't going to work, so go on, take the handmaid. But God is still merciful because it was his word. It was his promise. And I like when I look at what Sarah did, and she allowed the circumstance to override, that God said, I'm true to my word. So when I read chapter 5, and I'm in that circumstance override, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what circumstance I have. God says, I have peace. I don't have to make peace. I have access. I won't be denied. There's no confusion here. There's no chaos. It's God's word. My hope is in what he says, not in what I see. I live by faith and not by sight. There it is. Look at Abraham. He looked at himself. Man, if my faith was based on what I see. Oh, Nelly. It's by faith, not by sight. The faith is in God, his word. His word is what's going to move you to have a faith and action that believes in that hope, will not be weak in faith when the circumstances begin to override. He says, no way, not in my house. The fourth principle here, we see that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't doubt. This word staggered means to doubt. When you begin to doubt God's word, you begin to drift away. You saw the D syndrome that I presented this Sunday morning. And again, when you allow the circumstance to override, then you will begin to doubt God's word. And he says, he didn't doubt the promise of God through. When you let doubt take its root, it ain't going to happen. Then you're right there at unbelief. So he cut it off. No doubt. No doubt. Because if I fall prey to doubt, it gets easier to not believe. You think that's a fair assessment? Yes, Ruth. Yes. Good point. A la Sarah. Well, I'm not staggering, but I'm going to help God. And let's do it this way because it's taking too long. I'm 100 years old and Sarah's not too far behind. Let's help God and get the program going. Because he says, the father of many nations. A lot of pressure. See, God is the one that handles the pressure. You just sit there. You just be there. Good point. Don't doubt. Do not doubt. Do not stagger. Easier said than done. It is, because when you read the story, I think sometimes I forget that it was a real person in a real point in time with these circumstances. Because it was. And then I go, well, you know, God was talking to Abraham. I think it was easier back then to hear the voice of God. Really? Was it? Was it that easy to hear the voice of God? We have God's written word. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. I think we have it easier today than what Abraham would have had it back then. He didn't stagger. He didn't doubt at the prompts or the word of God. He didn't doubt God's word. So this evening, go back and read Romans 5, 1 through 12 together. And take in all that there is there. And then apply these principles as you read this. And as you face your daily living based on those benefits of being justified, that when you face situations, act. Act on your faith. Be it a lively, you be lively stones and not dead stones or dead bodies. Because we are lively stones. Believe and hope. Be not weak in your faith. Don't allow the circumstance to cause you to doubt or stagger, which will then lead you to not believing. And this is what I like about when Paul writes this. He comes back to, again, not being weak in faith, but rather, again, reminding you. The opposite of weak in faith is strong in faith. Same thing. Reminds you. Come on. Don't give up. You're almost there. Don't give up. Don't give in to the circumstance to keep you from what God has already given you. Man. It's already ours. It's already been done. Christ's last words was, it is finished. Duh, it's finished. Rest. The work is done. It is finished. So believe in what I tell you. Be not weak. Don't allow what Satan engineers in your life. Don't allow that to make you doubt. Stay strong in faith, trusting and relying. Stay strong. The song that Anthony just sang right now, he went ahead and wrote that. And it's pretty much giving glory to God. Don't ever, ever. It just happened to be, as I outlined this, this is where it fell. I put that at number one. Always give glory to God. Always give glory to God in everything you do. The believing in hope, the being not weak in faith, of not letting the circumstance override, of not doubting, is trusting in God. Thus, you give glory to God. It all comes down to that. Are you believing what His Word says? And not just in this part of Scripture, but in every aspect of your living, always in all things, just as you're thankful in all things, is the form of giving glory to God. Whether good or bad, whether bad or good circumstance, you give glory to God. Just do it. Don't even, it should be just a part of who we are as believers in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And I don't mean to just say it as patronizing him. No, I say it wholeheartedly. With a joyous heart, with a believing heart, strong that is strong in the faith, you give glory to God. How can I give glory to God if God is glory? It's a thankfulness aspect that it's Him working in you to achieve what He wants for you. You know, I don't know of any other profession, and I'm using that in regards to the point I want to make, any other profession that gives you everything and does everything in order for you to be successful. All you got to do in this program is be available and faithful to Him. That's it. He does all the rest. Man, sign me up. We've been signed up already. But again, when you allow that third principle to override, when you allow that to consume you, everything falls apart. Not God's promise, but you trusting Him. And it's going to happen. That's just it. It's going to happen as we live. None of us live always believing in hope. Always not being weak in faith. Always not allowing the circumstance to override. Always not doubting. Always giving glory to God now. You know, if I say I've accomplished all those principles of faith, lightning would strike me down right now. No, but this is the transformation of the mind that Paul talks about. It is training the thinking up here, because it is. You have to practice this every day and everything that you do. Giving glory to God. And then he goes on, being fully persuaded that what He has promised, He is able to perform. And that's the key. We were going to sing Blessed Assurance, right? And I said, I was going to go in. It's okay. It's that Blessed Assurance. It's blessed because, you know what? He. Now, Paul talks about it in the past tense because it was in regard to Abraham. And we saw God accomplish what He promised Abraham. We saw that. A father of many nations. Dead man, 100 years old, Sarah's right behind, and God accomplishes that. Are you persuaded? Am I persuaded? Am I assured? Is there this assurance? Now here's the clincher. In the entirety of God's Word. And what He promises, He is able to perform. And I like what Paul writes after this. Now, again, he's talking the whole point of this argument, of this application of these principles, which I've taken as principles, but this is based on what this next statement is. Well, I don't want to go there yet. Let me go back. Verse 22, and therefore, what God was able to perform was to impute to Him for righteousness' sake. In all of that, Abraham had to make a mental note of all those things that were happening in his life. And from the time that God tells him to the time that he has these kids, it's been 25 years, more or less, before this actually comes to fruition of having the once the promised son. And thereafter, then God just works in the nation. Being fully persuaded that He had promised, He was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed. That's it. Now, that was the juncture of righteousness that would be the landmark which would identify those of us outside of the law to be accounted righteousness because of the same faith that Abraham had. He wasn't circumcised when this happened, was he? No, he wasn't. There was no law, was there? No, there wasn't. And so this happens outside for the one reason that God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. Not just the Jewish nation, but many nations, which, yay, I'm one of those other nations, right? I'm not Jewish, not that I know of. I don't know if ye all are, but if you're not, well, we're that other many nations. God, I mean, it just, when you read the life of Abraham and how God worked in Abraham's life and how Paul now goes back into retrospect and breaks this down and shows us, look, man, look, woman, this is what it's going to take for you to live as God wants you to live, because you have been justified. The work's been done, okay? You've got all these things given to you, and when the circumstances come, stay true to who you are in God. Stay true to what He tells you. That's the point. He's talking to believers here. This is what we have. This is what we have because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. See, now it was not written for his sake only, verse 23, not just for Abraham's sake that it was imputed to him. This wasn't just a one case scenario. This is it just for Abraham. No, no, no. But for who? Who? Us. Who's us? Me, you. But for us also, to whom? The whom is us, it shall be imputed if we, us, do what? Believe. On whom? And who is Him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead? God the Father imputes righteousness through Him. Jesus Christ, Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses or sins, and was raised for our justification. All of that. It's been done. Jesus is the just and the justifier. He's the one that can declare us righteous because He's accomplished it. Now, it's important that Paul puts on there that he, this justifier, was raised, because if this justifier, supposed justifier, was not raised, can he be the justifier today? Well, he's dead, but he was raised. Thus, he can be the justifier that can declare you righteous. And not only that, and he reminds us that the reason that he was delivered was for our sins. He paid the price. The propitiation satisfies the wrath of God. And then he was raised to be able to declare us righteous or justified. Father Abraham believed in hope, was in weak in faith, did not allow the circumstance to override, did not doubt, give glory to God, and assurance. But God accounts for our human frailty, because you know that He did stagger. We know that the circumstance made Him do things that He should not have done. The famine, as they came to the promised land, they go to Egypt and he concocts the story. You're my sister, you're not my wife, because then I'm dead. And so you see human frailty in the story. He wasn't perfect. But overall in his life, he applied these principles to accomplish what God would do in his life. So don't think that just because you do stagger at times, the circumstance right now is bringing you down. It's God that's going to accomplish it. It's God's word that says you have it. And because of that, go back and stand on that. Go back and stand on that. And then get yourself back on track. Get yourself back on track. Because those same words are also given to us to live by as Abraham did. Believe in hope, not weak in faith. Don't let your circumstance override. Do not doubt. Always give glory to God. Faith in action, lastly, the assurance, not in yourself, but in God working in your life. Any questions? Anything y'all wanted to add? No? And then they woke up. I'm joking. Yes, ma'am. Oh, Ray. Yes. Oh, no. No. I think in retrospect, we can go back and look at our lives and see how God steered us back. You know, I look at my career choices, how I wanted to go and follow certain career paths, and those doors were always, always, always closed. I had the right people in the place where I had the right recommendations and everything, but it just never worked. And I ended up going to banking, and that was good for as long as I did it and didn't like it, coming back to my print shop and always seeing God moving me in ways that I would not have done it that way. Exactly. You would not have done it that way, right? And even when, well, my thing got all messed up. I don't know what I did to my laptop. See if you can fix that. Anyways, or to the presentation. I hope I didn't lose it. Anyways, I would often would let that circumstance override, and I began to help God. And lo and behold, I just got out of debt 5 years ago completely. Thank God. Give glory to God. But that was because I prayed to God, God, can you please, you know, get the funds and not go and get more credit card debt. Yeah, not the way it works, Tony. And so, yes, had I known that yesteryear, would I have done it any different? I don't know. I hope I would have. No, this was not on my bucket list. Yeah. Yeah. Who would have thought that in 1981, when this church was being formed in somebody's home, and in fact, in the summer of 81, when it was being, I guess, Christian, if you will, Lake Country Bible, that I would be sitting in a college setting taking an engineering course. And then the roads that meet, you know, I was 18 back then, and 30 years later, the roads meet. Wasn't on my to-do list. You know, yeah, I'm going to be here when I'm 48 years old here at Lake Country, you know, serving at that time. And I look at even my marriage, I wouldn't. The father of six at my age wasn't on my radar. It just wasn't there. And so, but, you know, God is good. Give glory to God in all things. Closing a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that as Paul writes this letter, Father, of, again, just the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. And as he begins to give the arguments that he does, it's not by works, but by faith. And he poses, and he uses Abraham, and he uses David as well, Lord God. And the arguments that were brought up in regards to Abraham, that it was done before the law. It was done before the seal of circumcision as the mark of faith, Father. And then the arguments that he uses, the principles that we can use, Father, to take advantage of what we have because we've been justified. Privileges and benefits we have that he expounds on there in chapter 5, Father. I pray, Lord God, that we live our lives with the knowledge of having a faith that is alive, that acts upon the Word of God, that applies it, not only in our thinking, but in everything that we do and we say, Father. I thank you, Lord God, for Lake Country Bible Church and those that are here, Father God, that continue to further the Word. Lord, bless them, Lord. I ask you to bless us and protect us as we drive back down to South Texas on Friday, and for those traveling as well, Lord God. Not just us, but those in this church that are traveling. And again, as Friday comes down in a few weeks, I just pray for traveling mercies, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for the fellowship that we have here, the camaraderie, and again, our commonality of faith in Christ. Always giving you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are dismissed.